Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome my brothers and sisters to the Common Salvation Ministry, opening the eyes of a nation one eye at a time. And I am pleased to welcome your host and my wonderful husband, Phil Armstrong.
And the most important thing to God today, my brothers and sisters, is that we come out of Egypt, that we separate ourselves from Egypt. Now, when I say separate ourselves from Egypt, I don't mean cut the umbilical cord or cut ties. I mean we must have some type of communication with Egypt. I'm not saying do not break fellowship with people you work with, because you're going to get fired if you do. I'm not saying you stop, take all your kids out of school and move into the mountains and grow beards. I'm not talking about that either. What I'm talking about is that the system that we live in is not for your best interest. It is not a Christian place at all. It is not a Christian spirit at all. It is not for Jesus' best interest. It's not looking out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody nowadays is looking out for themselves. And if we as Christians are going to be free from bondages that are in us, and sin does live in us, but free from the control power of sin, we must come out of Egypt. You can be standing right in front of Egypt and be out of it. You see, what do you mean? When I was in the Army, I would be around a bunch of guys, and from out of nowhere, they'd start telling jokes. I can probably stand it for a few seconds, but I got to pick up and go. And for me to sit there and take it, or even to a point, to be honest, they might tell the right joke at the right time, at the right moment, I might bust out laughing, and it could be a nasty joke. And you know what? I could have got out the room, so my testimony was still made strong. And that's what I knew when I was in the military, is that, hey, you got to get up and get out of here. Well, what I mean by coming out of Egypt, it's sort of the New Testament version of Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil suspicion, covetousness, which is idolatry. And that's one of the main things that I would like to talk about today is adultery. Idolatry. Idolatry can be anything. See, people get it mixed up with adultery. Idolatry can be anything. If you like to collect Coke bottles, tops, that can be idolatry. It depends on what your heart places it. What do your heart do with it? Your heart get aroused and ready to just jump in the air? Or do you, you know, okay, whatever. Well, we should always do that with God. That's why it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then again, I say, I rejoice. Because God knew that some of the things that we hold dearly should bring excitement to us. And for him to be the king of the universe and save me from hell, it's an awesome thing. It's the greatest thing. And I'm not going to sit here and say that God has freed me from sin because I gave him my life. I'm going to say God called me. Called me. And he came and got me. And he brought me into his kingdom. And he can do the same thing for you, brother. Sister. He wants to call you. He wants to come and get you. Walk you by the hand into his kingdom. Okay? God wants to free you from those things that easily beset us so that you can run the race and you can win this race. There are a lot of brothers out there, a lot of sisters too probably, who is entrapped by the sin of masturbation. You say, well, that's not good to say. Well, actually it is. And there are many other sins out there just like that, but just like this one. But in order for us to get that sin out of our lives, it's the Word of God. But the person of Jesus Christ must be in your life. You must acknowledge that he is, and he exists, and he is there for your Father. The closer you get to Jesus, the better it is for you to stop. But at the same time, alcohol is in this faith thing and drugs. But the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you renew your mind on whatever things are good, whatever things are faithful, whatever things are right, if you renew your mind off the Word of God, things will work out. Trust me, they will. But you have to give God that chance. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, we can't live our Christian life on a crutch. Because the King of the universe is our God. And if we live our lives on a crutch, you have relatives that you need to talk to. You have friends you have to talk to. So what if your testimony is broken or messed up or lame? Repair it. Repair it. Get on your knees and ask God to repair it. Because God does the work. It is him who works in and through us. It is not us who work out our own salvation. We allow, well, I won't say allow. Excuse me. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And when that happens, God works in us. And he works out that salvation through us. And if we can't give our lives, the Bible says, he who is willing to lose his life for my sake will gain it. And he who is willing to gain his own life, not for my sake, will lose it. We must be willing to gain our lives for God. We must be willing to put our focus on the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, that's the only way you're going to break any bondage. I don't have a secret method. This ministry will be called the Common Salvation Ministry, where I touch on the issues concerning everyday Christians. My other show will be called the Prophecy Zone. The Prophecy Zone will be talking about prophecy. Excuse me. So, prophecy will be the focus on the other show, and spiritual warfare or how to live a Christian life will be on this show. Now, I pray that you guys can hear me on this microphone. Now, we are living in the last days. Today is June 13th. Oh, man, unfortunately, tomorrow is Friday the 13th if you're superstitious, I think. But anyway, I'm just joking. Tomorrow's Friday the 12th. But tomorrow's Friday the 12th, 2009. And Barack Obama has just a couple of weeks ago declared June Homosexuality Month. Now, the reason why I would go in and say something negative about this month, when my ministry is basically two people who are repentative and want to repent and turn towards Jesus. Folks, we can't go to heaven being a homosexual. We can't go to heaven being a drunk or alcoholic. I used to be one, so I guess I shouldn't say a drunk, but alcoholic, a drunkard. We can't go to heaven sleeping with our boyfriend or living with our boyfriend. We can't go to heaven bouncing checks. But we so can repent and say, I'm sorry for bouncing checks, for living with my boyfriend, or sleeping with my boyfriend, or doing drugs, or doing alcohol. And then we can make an about face. But we're living in the last days. The Middle East tensions are high. Excuse me. Middle East tensions are high. North and South Korea is high. I do believe that sometime in July, we're going to see something that opens the Pandora's box. And you'll learn a lot more when this show, which is the Prophecy Zone, goes back to being the Prophecy Zone. And the Common Salvation Ministries will come on. And then I'll talk about spiritual issues. But I'm going to take a little bit of time today and talk about prophecy also. Just because we have to get ready. The 10 virgins got ready. We have to be ready. Just like for a major football game. Believe me, it's much beneath. The football game is much beneath being raptured. But we must be ready. Because if we're not ready, we're going to get left behind. That movie, Left Behind, had a good name to it, Left Behind. There are people right now who claim to be Christians who are not living the Christian life. We got to examine ourselves. My mom, when she had her granddaughter a couple of years ago, about 12 years ago, was getting in the vehicle, and she was getting my niece off the car, and my mom hit her breast, and she felt something in there. So she went to the doctor. Well, she went in the house and examined herself. And then she went to the doctor, and whatever she had, she got it removed. But she had to examine herself. If you're in the military and you go on a road march for 12 miles, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get home? You take off your shoes, take off your socks, and examine your feet if you're a good soldier. Well, that's also a football player, a quarterback, who had a messed up arm, and his arm is finally getting cured. He goes out to the field, he throws the football around, see how his arm is doing. He's examining it. Well, in the Christian faith, we got to do a daily examination of ourselves, daily repentance. You say, well, I think once saved, always saved. You know what? Y'all could throw that in the garbage. I am so tired of hearing about that. That means I can get saved, go down to the church like a marriage, like a chapel, go down to the church, get married to God, walk out, say, here, I don't want it no more, and leave. Never come back. I can go be a drag queen. I can do anything I want to be. Basically, that's what you're telling me. Well, God will keep them and this and this and this and this. Quit trying to look over God's shoulders. Look, you need to preach to that person as if you don't know what they're going to do. Stop trying to tell people once you get you give your life to Jesus at 7 years old, you don't have to say nothing else again. What a deception. I got some very close family members who think that. Once saved, always saved. Well, I said, I went to the altar. Now I don't need you. Come on. For real. We need a daily repentance. With all the sins that we can think of, you say, well, that's a lot of sins. But not all, you know what I mean. If you looked at somebody funny, if you know you looked at somebody funny, repent. How many times are you going to sin in a day? 100 times? You got problems if you sin in that many times. I'm talking about little gestures, little bitty things. You can't remember them all. We were born. What David said, I was formed with iniquity in my mom's womb. So we're not going to sit up here and try to figure out the times that we sin. But we need a repentant, daily repentance of life. We need a relationship with God. He needs to be able to direct our lives. He's both Lord and Savior. And we are not going to hear the trumpet unless we are dedicated to the Lord first. I got a relative that loves the dog, loves her dog more than anything on the face of the earth. And I love that person. But the Bible talks about idolatry, as I said earlier in the middle of the show. Idolatry. And whatever you put before Jesus is idolatry. You say, you're a little harsh there. Yeah, I am a little harsh. What did they say the first? He said, Jesus, somebody came up to Jesus and said, what was the first commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I fell on that issue. I fell big time. But we should not put a dog before other people. I love pets. I got two cats. Love them with my heart. But we got to watch everything, anything, any little thing that could take our focus off of Jesus. Any football, any basketball. I watched the playoffs. I watched the championship game. Matter of fact, the Magic lost 3-1. Now, you think I'm going to end my life by jumping out the window? I like to go 2-2. I like it to be 2-2 and go 7 games. But my point is, I don't care if it's the Detroit Pistons. I'm from Detroit. I don't care if it's the Detroit Lions. You know what? It doesn't matter. You got to put God first. The issues of life, man. Guard your heart from it, or guard your mind from it, is the issues of life. We don't guard our heart. We don't guard our mind. The devil's sitting there waiting to plant something there. A lot of times we hear the same verses over and over again. The same verses, the same scripture over and over again until it becomes void. That's why the Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's also distorted knowledge. It's familiar knowledge. Everybody's familiar with the scriptures. Everybody knows everything. Nobody knows nothing. Everybody knows everything. It's when it comes to salvation, everybody knows everything. I'm a genius. Nobody knows nothing. We got to understand that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. You know what that means? Does anybody out there know what judgment, why the judgment begins with the house of the Lord? It starts with the R. Rapture. It starts with the R. It's called rapture. Jesus Christ will come and take his church out, and we will stand in front of the Bema seat and give an account. I already know I might not do too hot. Not because I have secret sins or anything like that. It's just the fact that I lack knowledge at times. I lack the proper Bible reading, the proper knowledge. We got to get in His Word. We got to get in His Word. Because if we don't get in His Word, we're going to lack knowledge. And I do not want to lack knowledge. I do not want to lack knowledge, okay? So we have to put God first. We have to put His Word first. If His Word was food, a lot of us would be skinny all outdoors. Since the United States is one of the overweightest countries in the world, maybe we should take some of the philosophies that we've been using towards the Bible and use it towards food. I'm a big guy. So, I'm starting my 50,665 millionth diet. And one of these days, it's going to work. But see, God is, the power of God is supposed to be in our lives. But the power of God does not come absent and void from a relationship with God. All those great patriarchs and prophets did not have power without the absence of relationship, without relationship. They did not have power without relationship. They did not have power without the heart being contrite. They didn't have power without the heart being aimed at God. Now look, if God says, look at this building out here, before you start building, count the cost. Is that the cost that we should God should be all that in the potato chip factory? The same way you feel, young ladies out there, from a guy that you just met, you should be feeling that way 100 times towards God. Me too. I mean, not for a guy. Come on now. You're not be saying Obama's right. Nah, I love my wife. I love you. Women are beautiful, so I'm not that way. So don't take that wrong. I like to joke around sometimes, but God has given ladies beauty, but He has given men strength, supposedly. Some of these guys out here don't even take care of their own kids. But God wished that no one should perish. I don't care how your boyfriend is, how your girlfriend is, how she try to cut your tires or break your window. God does not wish anyone should perish. You need to remember that. He or she who says that they are Christians now, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to the choir. I'm talking to myself. God loves us. God really do love us. Okay? And if God be for us, who can be against us? Right now I'm playing with the phone. Please be patient with me. I have no idea what I just did with this phone. So if you can hear me less, I apologize. I have 4 minutes left for the show. I'm going to have to move the microphones. I got this whole studio here. And I have to sort of do the platinum to get this studio to be hooked up to this thing. So I can't wait for that. But God loves everyone out there. And I'm not saying that I'm more fire and brimstone than anything else. So I don't believe that we should hit each other with rocks. But I do believe that we should understand this relationship with God. Because if we have a relationship with God, the power of God will keep us from sinning. If you have a problem looking at a woman, ask God to deliver you from that. Over time, I think he'll do it overnight. He's only going to, if it takes God 3 months to deliver you, then you've waited 3 months too long to give him yourself 100%. Can the human will actually give itself over 100%? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform means it's like kind of like magic. You transform something into something else real quick. Could we actually be transformed overnight? It depends on how much you want to be transformed, how much you lean into God, how much you want to say when you're in that boat, Jesus bid me to come out, whatever your name is, Mary, John, Peter, Ramsel, Miriam, come forth. Come out the boat, walk on water. Except this time, the water is 18 years in length, 20 years in length. You take your eyes off of him, you drown, he picks you up. Take your eyes up, walk a couple feet, take your eyes up, and drown, pick you up. But see, God don't play no stuff, though. We got to understand, God is not only a God of grace, but he's a God of justice. And that same God of justice is in the Old Testament. It's still in the New. Have you read Revelations? It ends with judgment. It cracks me up how people try to cancel out the Old Testament. Don't you forget how soon you forget that the book ends with violence? It's a God's wrath, the day of the Lord. I love these shows. I love giving these shows, but a lot of these shows I've been giving without just the spur of the moment. The Holy Spirit or just myself or whoever says, get up and go and do a show. I don't know if it's just me or... But like I said, I'm having to lean on the Lord. We all have to lean on the Lord to give us this peace that we're doing the right thing. And if the peace is not there, chances are you shouldn't be doing it. But remember, always to read his word and pray and fellowship. Really, is it your people that's around you that are Christians? Go to church. We can't be out of the body and be raptured. We have to be in the body. Okay? God bless you, and y'all have a marvelous day, and I'm going to be probably doing another show tomorrow night. God bless.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome my brothers and sisters to the Common Salvation Ministry, opening the eyes of the nation one eye at a time. And I am pleased. Hey, welcome my brothers and sisters to the Common Salvation Ministry, opening the eyes of the nation one eye at a time. And I am pleased to welcome your host and my wonderful husband, Bill Armstrong.
identify himself with us. He did that on the cross. Because his Father sent him down here to take away, to seek and save those who are lost. Now, in order for us to be free, we must keep our eyes on the Lord. Now, it sounds easy, but with all the distractions, even this past election, it was a big distraction. Because we're looking for the arm of man. We're looking for flesh to solve our problems. Well, what did Jesus say? He says, it's not so that I even know when the birds hit the ground. The Heavenly Father does. He knows the number of hairs on your head. No disrespect intended, but does the Father know the hairs on your head? I doubt if you even know your next door neighbor. So we must, first of all, keep our eyes on the Lord. Can we keep our eyes on the Lord more than we keep our eyes on the American Idol winner? Can we keep our eyes on the Lord more than we know what the young and restless is doing? Can we keep our eyes on the Lord before we know who was the number one draft pick in the NFL or the NBA? I love the NFL and NBA. That's why I picked those up. My wife likes the young wrestlers. But I find that the closer I get to the Lord, the less I want those things. I mean, my team, my Detroit Lions, they didn't win any games last year. Not one. So you think I'm going to miss church for them? But imagine if I had the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can I have to do? Will I skip church to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers? If the Lions were in the Pittsburgh Steelers spot, will I skip church? So getting back to what I was saying before, it's a lot of distraction. And when Peter was walking on the water, he looked away, his attention came off Christ, and he started to sink. Even when Moses was, when the Israelites were fighting, and Moses had to have his arms lifted up, when his arms came down, what happened? That was a symbolic issue, that was symbolic of keeping his eyes or focus on the Lord. If we have an alcohol problem, we must keep our eyes, the closer we are to the Lord. I'm not talking about relationship, I'm talking about a darn right relationship. If our marriage is messed up, even if the one person can keep his eyes on the Lord, or her eyes on the Lord, then those bondages can be broken. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, only by eye contact, only by heart contact. So, this is going to be a ministry of trying to help people to break these bondages through Christ. We can't break the bondages. Sometimes when you start a radio program in English, the explanation of things come out wrong. But God is the only one who can break the bondages. And we are in the end time. So I noticed that I was looking for a church, and I'm still looking for a church right now. And I noticed that all the churches are on the same page, all the true churches. They say, what do you mean true churches? Well, the ones they talk about gain of prosperity. Most of the time they talk about prosperity in heaven. A pilgrimage, this is temporary for us. The absence from the body to be present with the Lord. We have to pursue the kingdom of God with all our hearts. I'm not saying you can't listen physically realistic. The Bible says, love not the world and things in the world. See, the funny thing about the gospel is that when we're standing in front of God to give an account, a lot of church members are going to realize that they were, and nothing against the African people or Ethiopians, I'm not trying to poke fun. Spiritually, they're going to find out that they were worse than the Ethiopians were physically. We have to read it. It brings, he says that we are to be in the light. It says in 1 John that who says that he is following God but doesn't do what God says makes him a liar, and the truth is not in him. But he also says we live in darkness, and light illuminates darkness, not the opposite. There's no way you can get light from darkness. So if you walk, if you, I remember being in Colorado, and we went to this place called the Cave of Wind, the Cave of the Wind, and it's the darkest place on earth, one of the darkest places on earth. So when we were in the cave, and my fiance at the time, she's my wife now, they cut the lights off, whatever light they had, a torch, and it was so dark in there that you see things that you saw 5 minutes ago, but you're not really seeing it. It's just in your, I don't know, memory or whatever, but it was so dark in there. Well, without light, we couldn't know how to get back out of that cave. But light can illuminate darkness, the darkness can illuminate light. See, through the darkness, Christ comes and gets us. If you are in a relationship, a lesbian or a homosexual relationship, God loves you. He loves the person. He hates the action. And I'm not going to apologize for that. If you're alcoholic, like I used to be, I used to drink every day. I had to have a 40-ounce or 6. God has broken those cravings. I used to have a mind that was dedicated to the opposite sex. God has delivered me from that bondage. Do I think Christ is coming back pretty soon? Actually, I think he's right around the corner. Oh, about 3 or 4 years away. No, I think it's like really around the corner. I got a baby coming. He or she is supposed to be, I don't like to put those two together too close, but if the baby's a boy or girl, thank God they're healthy. I don't want to end up with twins, but I don't know why I keep that to say them day. That's scary, but hopefully the rapture happens and they get out of rapture with me, so responsibilities won't really kill me. But I'm just joking. I'm hoping to see my baby grow up, but I'm better most hoping that she or he is not going to be in a world like this one. It says somewhere, I have to look it up for you, in the psalm, that we should rejoice when somebody passed away and cry when somebody died. I believe Christ is right around the corner. Matter of fact, I believe in whatever year Jesus Christ is going to come back, I believe that the fall feasts truly are going to play a factor. See, the spring feasts play a fatal factor at his first coming. You have Pentecost, when he was on the cross, and he also had in the Old Testament, when Moses told the Israelites to put the red blood on the door. You have unleavened bread when he's put them into the tomb. You have Jesus, and he rose from the dead, then you have Pentecost. Did I say Passover the first? Yes. Okay, Passover the first, and then Pentecost, the one the church was formed. Now we got three more left. And yeah, I believe Jesus was crucified. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected all in the spring, regardless of what calendar you're looking at. Whether it was the Jewish calendar or an American English calendar or whatever calendar you're looking at. Summer is summer, spring is spring, fall is fall, winter is winter. Depends on when you live for winter. Well, what I'm trying to say is, when Jesus Christ comes back, I can, no one knows the day and hour, but I can almost guarantee it'll be in the fall for his church, if you're a preacher or rapture person, like I am myself. When Jesus comes back, you will see wars and rumors of wars, you see earthquakes, you see pestilence, like we're saying, you see famines. I believe the next thing to come on the list is famines. Somehow or another, our food will be contaminated in some sort of way, or maybe just be straight up. Something happens militarily or nationwide calamity that will stop the food supply from coming worldwide. But whenever this happens, I believe that Jesus will come back at that time. Is that I believe that Jesus is coming back around the time that, well, we least expect it, but the people who are looking for it are going to be aware within a few, what, maybe even closely aware of what's going on. So, not trying to guess what day is going to come back, but getting back to being ready. In Matthew 25, there were five virgins who were ready and five who were not. And you have to be closer to God sleep. Perfect shape, too. I'm going to try to yank it off of here. Come on. That about a blow. Just lock up, just like that. Just like that, huh? I think that's hilarious. I think that's amazing hilarious. So all of a sudden the thing locks up like this. You gotta be kidding me. And it just don't work anymore. You're kidding me, right? Okay, you're not responding. So what? Now let me out of it. And all those.